Good evening and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Tonight we're discussing bringing newness into our lives. So let's start off with, what do we mean by that, Shireen?
You know, they could be a lot of things, but I was especially thinking of internal newness, especially because when you think about the condition of the world now, it's really easy to renovate our homes or buy a new car or even get a new spouse. But it's not that easy to look at ourselves internally. And especially, I feel if we change internally our attitude and our vision, then things externally also will look different.
So what you're saying is we can either look at new things or we can look at things in a new way. Is that where?
Right, our vision.
Yeah.
But even I feel not just vision, but we need to change our attitude too.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this, because many people feel, I mean, you say to friends, how are things going? They say, same old, same old. And so in a way, that's of course just saying, okay. But in another way, it might seem like it's another day in the same old stuff. Is that right?
Yes, it does. It does seem like that, isn't it? I feel that life is such a gift.
Uh-huh.
If it is same old, really we should rethink what life is about. And I'm not saying to change like jobs or to change things, but I feel internally if you make spiritual effort, things change a lot.
So give me an example of how you make things change with spiritual effort.
One thing I was thinking is that we need to remove three words or three phrases from our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
In spiritual effort, let's say I want to have courage and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'd say I want to meditate, but, the word but, or I'm going to try. You know, when people say, I'm going to try, even this morning I was asking someone to come somewhere and she said, I'm going to try. And I said, well, that means I'm not going to see you.
Right.
And the other one is what, why should I do it, when should I do it? I feel like we shortchange ourselves a lot with these kinds of things. And so spiritually, when I mean by newness, is that I clean my understanding of things. I bring newness into my awareness of the way things are, the way I see things.
So in a funny way, spiritually, you're cleaning the lens through which you see the world.
Right. And in essence, I feel newness is that I'm living through my original nature. My original nature is living, is working through me. It's not the same old nature is doing it and I'm doing the same old things, but my original innate nature, which is pure, is working.
Well, in a funny way, that's, I was thinking of one of the ways I get to newness is if I'm with children.
Because they have such a fresh look at the world.
Exactly. That there is an excitement. I mean, children don't just walk into a room, they run into the room. They look outside and,
they do
oh,
have a lot
look
of
at
energy.
The birds. And, you know, it's, everything is exciting. Or pretty, and it can be traumatic, too.
Right.
But it seems to me that being around children gets me back to that clearer perception without thinking about things. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, it's a really important thing not to think too much about things. You know, but there is also something very counterintuitive about newness.
Uh-huh.
I feel if we go up and down, you know, if we fluctuate too much in our thoughts, like maybe I shouldn't do it, maybe I should do it, maybe I should do this or that, if there's too much of a fluctuation, I feel that is a lack of stability. Mm-hmm. And I feel to bring newness, I have to have stability.
Ah, that's an interesting thing.
It sounds paradoxical.
Yeah.
It sounds not, but I've noticed that about my life. Is if I'm stable in my thoughts, if I'm stable in the way I'm dealing with people, then newness seems to come. But stable in the form, in a spiritual way. That if I'm in my original stage and I'm stable. And also I feel newness, one of the things I've discovered is that all of us have just one weakness. That is a main weakness.
Only one?
Actually, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's a main weakness. The other ones are just byproducts of this one particular weakness.
And that is?
Any weakness. It's different for everyone.
Ah, I see. Okay. So within that newness then, does that relate to creativity?
Yes, it does. But can I finish
your sentence
about weakness? And I feel when I have this one weakness, I'm not able to remain stable.
Uh-huh. Give me an example of that.
I would have to give my own personal example.
Share it for the world.
Because I don't know, it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to assume it's the same for everyone. And so for me, let's say, you know, that's too personal. I wouldn't,
okay.
But I'll give an example. Let's say I have the habit of taking from people. Like, you know, I validate myself through what other people say or do, you know,
got
have
it.
A lack of self-respect for myself, which could be actually a big thing,
mm-hmm.
a lack of self-respect. And I feel that one weakness, a lack of self-respect, takes me away from my own stability.
Uh-huh.
And my own stability, if I'm not stable, then I'm not able to bring newness. And you were saying something.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing newness in two ways. One, a newness, like I think the shiny car is new in that it is pristine. Or the newness in creating new things. I think that we're not just consumers of our environment, we're creators of our environment.
Right, right. To bring newness into our lives, I feel we have to create new things.
Uh-huh.
Especially even in meditation, we have to create new things to bring newness into our lives. And I feel, there, for me, the way I do it
mm-hmm.
is I call dialing zero.
Hmm.
And I've been doing this more lately,
yeah.
is every time I send an email to someone, I dial zero. And for me, dialing zero is I connect with God.
Ah.
Or every time I talk on the phone with someone, I connect with God, that I dial zero.
Got it.
And so what happens is when I'm able to do that, then I feel God's creativity is so much more than my own that I'm able to tap into that.
So that opens up a whole other thing. Then what I'm hearing you say now is that if we get out of our own way, that habitual self, which is about 90% of what we do is unconscious living,
right.
that we are more attuned to a grander input of newness, of possibilities.
Right.
They say that Mozart's description of how he wrote music was he just relaxed and it flooded into his mind in full orchestration.
Right.
And as
right.
fast as he could take it
right,
down, almost
right.
with dictation.
Right. Actually, all of those famous composers really were very much in tune with God, too. They had a very close relationship with God. I was recently, just yesterday, reading about Einstein. And that's also what he was saying, that for him, it was more important to know the pattern of God's thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was forever trying to figure out what is the underlying pattern of how does God think.
Right, and so that's why he was able to bring so much newness into the world with science.
I was reading this week, strangely enough, about Einstein, that he was not a particularly good mathematician. He couldn't balance his own checkbook, for example.
Yeah,
or he'd stumble with the numbers. Yeah, but he was his imagination. He truly could get out of the habitual way into the newness of possibility.
Right, right.
Through that looking. So on a day-to-day basis, I'm guessing you dial zero as a way to get to your newness. I'm guessing you use it for your meditation as a
way
to get to your
newness. Yeah, right. I feel also the three things that if I have to really be careful, I watch myself and see, am I saying but? If I made, if I want to really bring newness, I feel that there has to be this feeling of being an instrument. What we call instrument is I'm just a conduit for God. But also there should be a level of humility too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And in humility, I feel, for me, humility is that I don't, it's not like I'm less than, but I don't feel like I'm better than or less than someone else or... In other words, I feel the other person is not less than or better than me.
Right. Which is actually a very good place to work from or to live from because you're not either looking down, feeling sorry for, or looking up with envy or awe or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
But you're just saying connected human to connected human or connected soul to connected
soul.
Right.
And I feel with those two things, it's very much possible to bring newness into our lives. And actually, it's very essential to bring newness into our lives.
I think so. And, you know, we were sort of kidding around earlier. You were saying that you feel different than you did a month ago. And, you know, we've talked before about every 6 weeks, I believe, our stomach lining changes out. Our bones take the longest to change out. But every atom in our body's gone by 7 years, and most of it's repeated many times in that,
that way. Right, so, things that we use more often change out more, like the heart change.
Exactly.
Rejuvenates itself.
So often. We are newness personified, except sometimes if our minds stay in the same ruts, then we're not seeing it.
Right.
We're not feeling
especially
it.
If the body is doing that, imagine what I, the soul, can do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I, the spirit, can do, which is living in this body. And I agree. I really feel I'm a different person from a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And I feel the difference is that two words is that I feel like I'm able to see more clearly with my third eye.
Uh-huh.
What is happening, and that actually is bringing a lot of newness, like you were talking about.
Right.
And the other thing that is helping me is I'm able to clearly see the consequences of my actions.
Uh-huh.
And also what I did in the past, what's happening now, and what's my future going to be based on what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And based on what I did in the past, what was my present, and based on my present, what's my future going to be. I'm able to clearly see that, and I feel that's the difference.
And that gives you comfort, I assume.
Yeah, and newness. I mean, both
yeah.
at the same time. You know, sometimes there is this feeling of not so sure if you want to do it because people are really not happy with change many times. Even though they want change, that people are really actually not comfortable with change.
Yeah, I think people want change if it's perfectly safe and familiar like it was yesterday.
Right.
Which is not changed
except
at all, really.
Except a fantasized version of what you think should happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like these kinds of things really help me to trust in what's happening in this really ever-changing world.
Uh-huh.
And that is able to give me newness.
So we're being new in the new world, in this ongoing world. Our thoughts are, of course, helping drive this or creating this. And some, you know, it popped in my head, one of my favorite books is Alice in Wonderland, and where the caterpillar says, "Who are you?" And she said, "I don't know. I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I must have been changed several times since then."
Especially a caterpillar, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, a caterpillar sitting on a toadstool smoking a hookah is a little bit strange in that. But within her fantasies, within that, the idea that I'm changing and being changed is a bit of a semantic difference. But I think there is something that if we're taking in and thinking, then possibly we're moving very rapidly into the future with new possibilities.
Yeah, especially now. I feel none of us has the luxury of holding on to anything.
Isn't that interesting? Because in a funny way, that anathema that was put into our high school yearbooks, "You're a wonderful person, don't ever change," is the worst thing that could happen.
Aren't you glad you did, though?
Oh, my goodness. Always have pimples. Always feel insecure. please let us change. And in the change, there's probably is where we find transcendence from the things that hooked us before.
And also joy.
And
I want to bring us back to this children. You
sure.
know, I have nieces and nephews, and I absolutely adore being with them. But also there's a joy in being with them, knowing that they're going to grow up. They're not going to be in the same spot. If I kind of knew that they're never going to grow up and they're all going to be in the same spot, somehow I wouldn't feel right about the whole interaction.
Yeah, I feel the same way. My wife and I have loved our children at every age. And I think I love them as adults even more. Because it gives that, but we were recently at a family gathering. There were four generations of us, and seeing the little ones and all the way up to my aunt who's in her 80s, it was just super. That passage of here's how things happen.
And the cycle of life continues.
And the cycle of life continues.
And in that, to bring newness into that, to be able to do that is quite wonderful.
Yeah. And to see that, I mean, in a funny way, it's always newness, and the pattern repeats itself again and again and again, but it does it in just amazingly new ways.
Yeah, right.
Which is a wonderful thing. At least for me it is.
It is.
So, kind of to paraphrase T. T.S. Eliot's thought that we won't cease our searching, but in the end we'll come back where we started and really experience it for the first time. That may be the ultimate newness. We see it with our new eyes,
and also experience it with something wonderful.
Yeah.
And I feel if we keep changing our awareness of things, mm-hmm. then our attitude changes, and when our attitude changes, then
everything
our vision
changes. Yeah.
So the thing that I need to bring newness is my awareness of the world.
Yeah, and the pieces that seemingly keep us safe are also anchoring us to the past, which by definition stagnates and decays away. Wow, so newness is now part of our worlds. Thank you, Shereen.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for joining us. See you soon.